Morning. Today is October 7th, and this is an introductory session for what will be over the year monthly meetings to discuss the senses. Hashem gave us many senses to help us navigate the exigencies of our existence, our sight, our ability to hear and sense danger. Those senses are relatively weak compared to everything else that's out there in the world, right? Practically every animal smells hundreds of times better than we do. They hear many times better than we do. Many of them see far, far further than we can. We make up for those what we lack in those senses with our intelligence and our ability to share that intelligence with a speaking mouth.
Bracha.
So that's and to make brachas. So that's as I said before when we were discussing the end of davening, that's going to come in very very much. But this would just be by introduction. We're going to start next time with the sense of sight. For the first thing I'd like to do in this realm is to differentiate between a bracha that is made for nehenin, for benefiting from something, from enjoying something.
Sure.
You're all enjoying some food now, some drink. There are brachas on these things. There's a blessing for everything that the body internalizes. And another thing called a birchos hashevach. A birchos hashevach can be usually something we see, a bracha that gives praise to God for putting this Grand Canyon, this Niagara Falls, this comet that's an amazing sight in the sky. The Gemara says there's also a bracha for things that could be quite destructive, like a hurricane or a tornado. If you're looking from far at a tornado, that is no less an amazing sight than a bolt of lightning. And a bolt of lightning takes a bracha. Right? Osema aseberashis. You say, God, you made all creations, and I acknowledge the vastness and greatness of everything you've created for us. There's a bracha on thunder, shekocho ugvraso mele olam. Right? Just parenthetically, we'll talk about this when we do sight. Is that one is obviously for something you hear, one is for something you see. I'm just saying this in passing. That some poskim say that you should not make the bracha on thunder until you've made the bracha on lightning. They understood that lightning causes the thunder. The thunder comes as a result of the lightning. You hear it at the distance from the lightning. Mm-hmm. It takes some time to reach you. And then you it travels at the speed of sound. And then sometimes it's not practical. You're indoors and you hear thunder and you're not near a window and you're in the basement.
So
of course you should make the bracha on the thunder. Okay, but that's just parenthetical. Okay, so those brachos are called birchos hashevach. It's not because you derived benefit from this Niagara Falls or Grand Canyon. And by the way, you could be a person who is amazed by nature, and you see the summer lights in Iceland, or you see the northern lights, or you see some amazing sights and colors in the sky. You see an amazing sunset with 14 different colors. And you want to make a bracha for that, right? So those would all be what we call birchos hashevach. They're not birchos hanehenin. It's not because you're enjoying it. It's because you're praising God for putting that there. And when it comes to making brachas for enjoying things, again, that's called birchos hanehenin, it has to be ingested into the body. The body has to take it in. Let me give an example of what is considered hana'a, what we consider to be benefiting from something, where we make a bracha, and what is considered where we don't. So the two obvious cases are food and drink. Everyone knows that. Another case is what we smell. If you smell a reach, a spice, there are five different brachas to make on smelling. Most people just know sense. Right, sense shahakol is borei min evesamim. But scent has other brachas depending on its source. All right, again, when we get up to the week on scent, we'll talk about these and all, and the psukim in Tanakh, like Yaakov having to put on something that smells like Esav, right? So that is because when we smell something, the nose is eating. When we hear something, the ear is not eating. When we smell something, the nose is eating. I don't think anyone would say it that way, but when you take in the besamim, there is actually something palpable. It's microscopic, but it's palpable. It's not a wave, like what the eye takes in or what the ear takes in. It's actually something palpable that enters the body. Kohan Hashemot Tal Eliyah is something that actually enters the body, and therefore scent has a bracha. We should be more careful with what is the source of this scent. For instance, if the source is a grass, like za'atar has a very nice scent, the bracha is borei isvei besamim. Mm-hmm. If it comes from a bush, like a rose, the bracha is borei atzei besamim. Mm. Right? Then there is also a bracha called Hanosein Reach Tov Baperos. Very rare bracha to say, but some people say it at the end of Sukkos on an esrog. Don't make it during Sukkos because you're not supposed to benefit. Making such a bracha on an esrog during Sukkos is like benefiting from the schach on Sukkos. So we don't want to do that.
What's
the bracha again? Bracha Toshem Lekin Mechalam. Hanosein Reach Tov Baperos.
Reach Tov Baperos.
Is the esrog the only thing
you'd make that up?
Depending, we differentiate. During Havdalah, we say bring the besamim. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we'll say, depending on what we're using.
Oh, Sfaradim will say other bracha. Well, okay, interesting.
Instead of.
It's okay. That's a psak.
What else are you allowed to use?
What?
What else are you allowed to use?
No, anything.
It's Vei Besamim or Atzei Besamim, depending.
There's some Sfaradim I've seen who make that bracha in Kiddush on Friday night, too.
Huh.
You can make it anytime. You can make it on Yom Kippur. Right?
You should use really mint pads.
Oh, wow.
To give you chizak.
Gavaldik, wow. And it's also another bracha to make. Wow. More schuyos. Right? So the...
Why you're about to take your esrog mula. I mean, you like the smell of the esrog, you like the smell of the hadassim.
Because that bracha is a birchas hanehanin, and when something is used for a mitzvah is lav lehanos nitnu. Don't get hanor from it.
In theory, I mean, after you do the
when it's not the week,
you mean on the last day of Sukkos when you've put it down and you've already taken the arava, we can have a discussion, but not on the first days. There is a gemara that speaks of someone who bought an esrog for each day of Sukkos.
Huh.
A different esrog for
so
each day of Sukkos,
say the bracha and at the end of he's not using,
and at the end of each day's use, he would slice it up and use it as a fruit in a salad or something.
Really?
So at the so because he knew he had a different one for the next day. That's if you have a grove and you have thousands of them.
Oh,
so
okay. Is the esrog the only fruit that you could say that bracha on?
Oh yes. Oh, you mean on the same way to papers? No, no. Yeah. The Gemara speaks about even a special bracha for a parsimon.
Oh, they don't smell.
Borei shemen arev.
Maybe that's because they've shipped.
No,
them
it's
here,
called an arfar simon. Maybe that's a different.
No, fruit. I think maybe it's for the shipping. It's not attached to anything. Uh-huh. It doesn't smell. Yet.
So anyway, there are five brachos for smelling. Borei midei b'samim. If you don't know what bracha it is, but there's borei atzei b'samim, borei isvei b'samim, hanosein rechav tov b'peros, and borei shemen arev. Some people use for Havdalah a liquid. You ever see a liquid with a little plant inside?
Rosewood.
Yeah. So, be it as it may, it's not only as far to custom to try to be as specific as possible on scent. The Rambam mentions the point also. Try whatever you're smelling. If you have to make a Borei Minei B'samim, is it the same as like, I don't know what bracha is on that cake, so I don't know, I'm not sure if there's grain inside, so I'll just make a shahakol. The Gemara frowns upon that. The Gemara says, "Don't eat it until you ask a shaila." Uh-huh. Right? Shahakol means after the fact. You put you're chopping on cake, and you say, "Oh, what am I doing? I just made a shahakol." Oh, okay, shahakol, fine. It covers.
Why do you smell ammonia? Is there a bracha for that? Or?
Ammonia,
like cleaning stuff.
Ammonia, correct.
No, there's no bracha on that. The bracha has to be made on something first of all that grows from the ground. It has to be something So some artificial scents does not get a bracha.
How about coffee beans?
Coffee beans. People, some people make Havdalah.
The scent is very strong.
Yeah, they make Havdalah on coffee beans.
We love it.
Yeah. What? So coffee grows in plants. The stomach, it's Borei Isfer, Borei Atzei. I'm not, but people routinely, I've seen people make it when they can't find psalmim, when they're in a traveling or someplace, or they're in camp or something. They use coffee all the time. So it has to be.
Well, I assume coffee that's in a jar is all ground up. You say Borei Minei B'Samim,
absolutely,
because it's
absolutely.
Not a plant. But
yes, absolutely. The same way you make a shahakol on what are those chips called?
Pringles.
You make a shahakol on Pringles because
what do you make on Doritos?
Because they're chemicals.
I don't know what's in it, because it's made from potatoes, but they're so squished and meshed.
It's
reconstituted.
There's as many chemicals as potatoes in Pringles.
Okay, all right. So lemaisa, the same way you'd make a shahakol on that Pringle, you can make a Borei Minei B'Samim on what you just described. So this, as you see, this introductory class will have a lot to do with the senses. Have a lot to do with the brachas we make. Okay, so let me go one step further, though. Is that if you see, you could say you love art. Right? We went to that Escher exhibition. Was such a, we just had such hanaah from it. It was so amazing. Every room was so, you could spend an hour in each room. His art is so detailed, and it's so, and it also helped that he had a Jewish, he wasn't Jewish himself, but he had some very dear Jewish friends, and he attributes all of his wisdom to a particular Jewish mentor. And be that as it may, we certainly had hanaah from it, but there's no bracha to be made because the eye didn't take in what the nose and the mouth takes in, right? There is a bracha to be made what the eye sees, but it's not called the Birchas Hanen, and it's called the Birchas Hashevach.
That's like when you see the
ocean. That's
the
Grand Canyon and an ocean, and there's a bracha to make on the Mediterranean, on the Yom HaGadol. Right, so
if you see a president or
yeah,
a king.
Okay, those are all and it all goes back to God. Asher chalak vodo l'basav adam, you know, that you gave, see God, you gave kavod to an individual. I met a few presidents. I always made that bracha as soon as I shook their hands, and they said, well, what is that? And I explained to them what it is. They were always very impressed. The one most impressed, George W. Bush was just, listen, I love that law. It was very interesting. They never heard it before. Meets Jews all the time, and I was the first person that he remembered, unless he forgot. I don't know. But
I'm sure he did.
So that's the difference. Okay, the body has to ingest and take it in if it's a Birchas Hanenin. So you know, someone can derive a great pleasure from. I'm going to wait. This, why isn't there a Birchas Hanenin for this, Renee? Right.
Oh, what bracha do I make? I'm enjoying this. No,
right? So why isn't there a bracha on this? So because the body didn't ingest that. So
yeah.
There's lots of when the Gemara in bracha says asur lehanos min haolam hazeh b'li bracha. It's not a categorical statement. There's lots of hanas that we take in this world that doesn't have a bracha. I love music, and I'd pay a lot of money to hear a live presentation or pictures at an exhibition, or Claire de Lune or something like that. We try to go to concerts, you know, often, but there's no bracha to make on that. And I certainly derive great hanah from that. My ear, however, didn't ingest, like I said before.
We don't make a bracha on any, let's say penicillin. And if someone needs penicillin, it's much more helpful than the pizza cake. They make a bracha on the cake. I don't make a bracha on the penicillin.
So first of all, the Gemara says there is a bracha when you take a medication, right? It's called bracha tarshem lekei mecholam rofei cholim, and there is a girsa of the Gemara that says rofei chinam. But there is a bracha before, not just a medicine, but a procedure. But it should be something it shouldn't be just an aspirin for a headache. It's something that could be not just life-saving, but that could turn into something. Probably every antibiotic could possibly turn into an infection. And, but the answer is yes. The answer is you don't take it on a vitamin, but you take it on something. There is a bracha.
Say I have a calcium deficiency. The doctor tells me to take calcium vitamins.
I wouldn't be a bracha.
I'm just saying, like,
I would say
you're
that
ingesting it. That's
I'm ingesting it, and I would say that these are nutrients that my body
doesn't know. But it's not. If, I'll tell you, if that calcium pill had a cherry taste to it, then there's something to talk about. All right, that's what Poskim say. If you take a cough syrup that tastes actually very, very sweet, then it may have to make a bracha on that. But adrabah, not only is there no berchos, I mean, what do you call it, berchos hananin? Because my body is getting hanar from this calcium? No, I can't say that. Then you should make a bracha every time you walk out in the sun. The sun is giving you also some vitamin D. Ein adavar sof. But the halacha is that not only do you not make a bracha on, let's say, an aspirin, or you don't make a bracha on the water that you take with it, unless you're very thirsty. You get this like a psychrasia kind of thing going on.
Well, what if you didn't drink a whole glass of water with it?
So if you were going to drink that anyway because you're thirsty, so then there's a bracha on the water. But the Gemara says if you let's say there's a bone stuck in your throat and you take a big chunk of bread to push the bone down, you don't make a bracha on that bread. Because you're taking it for no.
Different tachlis, right?
Yeah. Right. Okay, so beautiful art. Yes, yes.
So at first I thought maybe a halakha kana doesn't happen via sight, but we actually do see there are cases where halakha kana happens via sight. I think like Hanukkah candles, where you can't get hana from the Hanukkah candles. That would be a sight hana. Right.
There's a bracha for that.
No, there's a bracha for that. My point, but what I'm saying is that we do define hana'ah by sight, because you say you can't read by the Hanukkah candles. But
there's no doubt that there's hana'ah from the light in this room right now. But that's exactly like the Esro question. Mm-hmm. This light is huktza l'mitzvah, just like the decorations in the sukkah. That's the lashon the Gemara uses. It's huktza l'mitzvah. So the esrog is hooked to the mitzvah. So don't use it for personal benefit for something else. Don't count money by the light of this menorah. Don't you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but we were saying that hana only counts when we ingest something.
Only counts for a bracha, to make a bracha. Of course, we get hana from every bit of our sights. I'm getting hana from listening to this music. But I don't make a bracha on them. Of course, the Gemara says this. Don't get hana from these Hanukkah candles. I'm getting hana from touching that cold milk because my hand is hot, and then I'm getting cold. I'm feeling cool from it. We're getting hana from lots of things, but the touch doesn't enter the body. So.
But that's not enjoyment. I think of people that have allergies and touch something, and just by touching, they're sort of ingesting. But that's not for enjoyment.
You can say it the other way. Medicinal, like you said, medicinal.
Oh, that would be yes.
Or ointments.
Remember, we're dealing with
where does it end?
Exactly.
Okay, so this is a so we get it, you understand the parameters here. Okay, so our senses, obviously of taste and of is the main focus of the brachos of benefit. There's also the nose tastes, so to say, it senses, and the sense of smell is actually a very powerful, primordial sense. I think that I remember reading once in the Sunday Times is that every organism has a sense of smell. There's some animals or organisms that have no sense of sight or sound at all, but they do smell. Their sense of smell is extremely powerful. They say a mosquito can smell, you know, from far away something that it's looking for. You know, like for us would be miles away, right? Of course, a bloodhound or other animals like that. So we have to make up for our lack of senses, especially when we have a cold or something, by making up for it with other things. Okay, I will just mention one thing. I know we're on tape and it's a family lecture, but the Chassam Sofer actually has a tshuva, amazingly. It's hard to fathom someone asking this question, but on making a bracha on the marital relations. There should be a bracha. I'm giving you hana, I'm getting hana, so we should make a bracha. So he gives a series of answers. A series of answers why he thinks not, right? And he thinks that the question is not raised in the Gemara. So should Rishonim and Achronim go about raising things that are not commenting in the Gemara? Why not? you bring up new things. You know, when electricity came along, the question was, which one of the 39 malachas of Shabbos does this resemble? It resembles fire. It resembles building something. And remember, so then we figure fit it in. The rabbis didn't know about electricity, but they so when new things come about, you know, you can have an originalist approach to the Talmud, while of course understanding that we you know, this is a problem with our constitution today in this country, but you have an originalist approach to the Torah and the Talmud, but while having to, you know. You don't have to be a modern Orthodox Jew to recognize that we have to, of course, deal with these issues. So you find that some of the early when the electricity was first introduced, you find that some of the early responses was bedafka to use electricity for Havdalah, to use electricity to show people this is fire, this is not something else, this is fire. They wouldn't use it for the menorah because hadlaka osa mitzvah. And it's not a hadlaka to just turn a switch, but they wanted to say this is fire. Don't use it on Shabbos. But there were lots of debates. You know, in the 1850s, 60s, 70s, 80s, when these things are, you know, when you started to use circuits
in Egypt and in Europe that said no, this is fine. You can use this on Shabbos.
Weren't
there certain rabbanim?
They weren't all Reform conservative. So all right, but that didn't sort of hold the day.
So.
So the Chassam Sofer comes up with this new question, not asked in the Talmud, and he gives numerous answers in the Tshuva. But at the end, he said, "I don't know why." And he just said a simple thing. He said, "Before I engage in such, I take a drink of water and I say Shachol Niyebidvaro, and I have in mind that it covers this Shachol Niyebidvaro is a beautiful bracha. It's really a beautiful bracha. It says this God, everything that human beings enjoy is from your bidvaro, is from your word. So that covers it. Covers a whole lot of things. All right. So that is there was a Hasidic Rebbe who once at the end of davening, he would take a big swig of whiskey and say shachol mihiye bidvaro and drink down a big half a cup. And he would tell, his Hasidim how wonderful it is that God gives us these things to make this most beautiful bracha in the world. So one of his Hasidim said, Rebbe, you know, you can make that bracha on water too. So he said, when I have a kavona like this and I'm thinking so much of God, I deserve to have
stronger than water.
I deserve to have whiskey for that.
Sugar.
Okay. All right. So let's talk about now again, we're still in the introductory phase of the shir, is that the most obvious case of senses entering the halachic realm will be in kashrus, in determining ta'am. Ta'am means it's not the actual food you're eating, it's the taste of that food is in this. The most clear case of this would be, let's say, chicken soup has the ta'am of the chicken, because the chicken was cooked in this water. There's not even a speck of chicken in that I can see. It's clear chicken soup. There's no chicken in it, but there's something I taste. You know, I can taste the chicken. There's chicken fat in it, maybe. So what is the identity of ta'am as far as the halacha is concerned? So on one level, I'll give you some examples that have to show up in these cases, is that we paskin the ta'am ki ikar. You ever hear of that terminology? Ta'am ki ikar. That the ta'am, it equals the actual thing itself. For instance,
coffee.
During the 9 days, we don't eat meat. We also don't eat chicken soup. And I believe that Sfardim and Ashkenazim are similar in that? Or no? Right. Whatever you hold, the Shua Shechobo, is that if you don't eat meat, you're also not eating chicken soup. In other words, if you eat chicken soup, you're fleshiks.
Right.
However hours you wait, 6 hours, 3 hours, whatever it is. Right? Now, chicken soup itself, it seems to be machlokas rishonim, because when the Rambam says that you have to wait after eating meat, he says it's because the meat gets stuck in your teeth, and it takes 6 hours for that meat to lose its identity, and you can't eat dairy products until after 6 hours. Chicken soup does not get in your teeth, and therefore, according to the Rambam, it would appear that it's only at the actual something you chew that makes you wait 6 hours. Rashi is the one who
it
says...
It has nothing to do with your digestion?
That's Rashi. Rashi says it has to do with the digestion.
But I don't think it takes 6 hours to digest chicken soup, regular piece of meat. It's liquid. It's mostly water.
Rashi didn't say 6 hours either. Rashi said...
Rashi just said it has to do with digestion? No, Rashi's grandson said, Rabbeinu Tam said it's just the next... Don't eat it in the same meal. Rabbeinu Tam would just meal. Wash his mouth out and then after meat and then have milk right away.
How does he explain digestion?
5 hours and into the 6 hour. He said 5 hours. Rambam didn't he say 5 hours?
That's the Lechem Mishnah's interpretation of the Rambam, who says you have to wait kishesh shaos
into the 6 hour.
So that's where people. Don't let's not infer that the Rambam says something.
Right.
It's better to say many readers of the Rambam infer this from the Rambam.
Okay.
The Lechem Mishnah disagrees. He thinks that kishesh shaos means the 6 hours, like the time between two meals. The Gemara Pesachim says, when should people eat their meals? When
six
should people eat their
apart?
Meals? The Gemara says 6 hours apart.
Oh.
You should eat at noon and at six. Get up and eat something light. Your first main meal is at noon. Your second main meal is at six. So that is...
You wouldn't remember the exact minute.
So kishesh... No, but okay, they did have clocks then. I'm just saying, is that...
Yeah. Exactly.
Is that the kishesh shaos meant that and Rabbeinu Tam said this explains the German minhag of waiting only 3 hours, because anyone who knows someone like real old Yaki, they eat little meals all day, which they say now is a smart way to eat. Warner Rosenbaum told me he would get when he went to school, his mother would pack him 4 or 5 sandwiches. This is your 10 o'clock sandwich, it's your 12 11, 1 o'clock sandwich, your 4 o'clock sandwich, your 7 o'clock sandwich.
Right.
Portion, small.
So they're better to eat a little bit small. Different times of the day.
So that you're never very hungry.
The difference between two meals. Nowadays, the difference between two meals is...
So right. So that okay. Well, now we tend to just follow our. You see, in Europe for 800 years,
right.
You lived. You know, you followed everyone in the city, lived in the same place, and you went to the same shul, and you were having the same thing. Everyone wore tefillin or didn't wear tefillin and chol hamoed. Never, but now it's such a hodgepodge in every shul.
Right.
Okay, but
we the Sephardi guy coming to each Kamesh.
But no, but it's simple. You follow your family minhag. I mean, look, many Bali Tshuva come to me and say, I don't know what my family minhag was to eat milk and meat together. So when it comes to ta'am, we say the ta'am is the same as the food. Another famous case is if someone makes a neder. I'm making a neder, no meat will enter my mouth for the next 3 days. That person also can't eat what tastes like meat, with tom of meat. But it's not artificial, though. If someone says, I will not eat meat, he can eat bacos. You know, it has no you. It's artificial. Tastes like artificial bacon, they say. Because that's not meat, right? It's an interesting thing that artificial taste. There are artificial mustard. There's artificial. You know, you can smell something and you scratch it, and it's you don't make a bracha on that, right? Because it's not coming from the source. All right. So everyone understand ta'am ki'ikar now. All right. So let's talk now about bittul. This goes well because our shir last night was on bittul. Our shir this afternoon in Maseches Arla is on bittul. Bittul means that when something prohibited mixes with something
allowed,
right? So there are different levels whereby we can say that the prohibited item got nullified in
the mix
in the permitted item.
Like a chicken in a vat of milk.
The number, right, but the leg of chicken you can go fish out. I'm talking where some sour cream just get fell into the chont, and I go, look, but I don't see anything white in there, and it must have all just mixed in. So the magic number everyone seems to know is 60, right? That if it's batel b'shishim, if it's 60, so where did we get to this magic number? So it's a Gemara in Maseches Nazir. I'm not going to get into the whole thing, I've said it many times, but at first, before we got to this stage, it would be very simple. You can't do this at home with a Jewish person because you don't want to taste it in case you do taste it, right? The question was not 60. The question was eat some of this cholent.
Tell me if you taste
sour
it.
Cream in it. You taste butter in it. This cholent tastes buttery. So you obviously have to give it to someone who's not Jewish. Gemara calls that a kfela, a taster. Give it to someone who, do me a favor, just taste this. Don't tell them why. So just taste it. Do you taste any butter in here? No, I'm tasting. Okay, eat it. Okay. But then that became burdensome. It became difficult. It became just onerous. And so they just decided that when it comes to milk and meat, lobster, whatever it is, some shrimp got mixed up. So if you could fish it out and look for it and throw out the thing that's not kosher, by all means. I'm talking about where it just got dissolved into it. Mm. Right? It's lach belach. It's liquid and liquid. It just mixed in. All right. So there's not a question of tam. It's a question of 60.
In terms of bittul, how do you know what cases to where something's bittul either barov or you have to use the 60?
So you can go look at your day and some in kuf yud and kuf yud aleph. So I spent a half a year learning these and taking a lot of tests on these in yanim. So all right, a lot of other things. We're learning Maseches Orla and Yerushalmi now in the Shabbos shir, all about Orla Kilayim. There's some things that need 100 or even 200 to make it bottle. Some things are never bottle. Right? But the thing the Gemara said to do in order to determine this was taste.
Uh-huh.
Okay. All right. So another place where we need taste is at the Seder. Gemara is very serious about eating the things at the Seder to make sure you taste them. Bo'inan tam moror, tam matzah. It's only one thing, if your moror is a little too sharp, you put a little charoses on it to, But don't bury the moror in charoses. I've seen some of our guests sometimes, they take a big pile of moror, but charoses, a little piece of moror, it's not right. You have the moror is the main thing there. The charos is this, you can, it's not too... So the mara that we tend to use is not really so sharp. It's romaine lettuce, it's endives. We like to use endives because because first of all, the Gemara says to use something called hindiva, which seems to be endives, but also because it doesn't have those crumply leaves where you can possibly get some tiny thrips and tiny little animal, little insects that adhere to the
what about if you're
adhere
making
to the
leaves?
So the leaves, even after they die, they adhere to the leaves.
By hand to make your own. So definitely, as you're grating it, it clears your sinuses, your eyes. So you're supposed to make a bracha on that?
So the you're talking about when you make?
Like preparing it beforehand.
No, because that's not a... I don't know if that's...
It's not hana.
Yeah,
you're
like
suffering.
The medicine thing. But I would say...
but it's definitely
some
doing something to a lot of your senses.
Yes. The bracha, the Gemara, the Rishonim prefer not to use horseradish because horseradish is a root. The Gemara, when it says what should use for maror, the Torah just says use marorim. Lots of things can be called marorim.
There's a word.
It's to use a leaf. The maror should preferably be something that's a leaf. Now, leaves were not really available for Jews living in North Europe in March when it's an early Pesach, let's say. So they had to use roots. They had to use something like a grated horseradish. All right. But that's like a condiment with the meat in the middle of a sandwich. That's really what it acts like according to some portion. All right. So some of these animals, these little insects, can adhere to the crumply leaves of some lettuces. So you have to be careful, and we'll just wash them very, very well beforehand. They have these little things on the bottom of their legs that they're tiny. I once saw one I was reading a Gemara, and he said, "There's a tiny little thing, 1,000 of them, I think, could have fit on a dime. It was microscopic, but I saw it moving, and so I blew on it, and it stopped." It stopped. And I blew so hard on it. I blew as hard as I could. It didn't move.
Like a little mite?
It has these things on it. And it must have things that are so powerful. Yes, wow. It's a tiny little thing. Didn't move. And I was right on top of it. I said, get off of my Gemara. I'm not going to kill you, but get off. So they adhere to the Mara also. And we don't have to be rid of things we can't sense. There could be things in this tea that we can't sense, that are living, but we're not angels, and we don't have to go rushing around to see how to go put a microscope in there, and you'll see things maybe moving around.
So what about,
it has to be the eye
can
see.
What about the water now that you have to have it?
Okay, so those are thrips. If you can see it, then okay. Then. It's a,
but are you obliged to look very carefully?
Copepods, they're called.
Are you, in order to get around, could you just say, oh, I'm not looking so carefully, or are you obliged to...
If it's the light, if you have a light, you know. But you can. They're called copepods, and look, you can look inside. You see, I don't see anything running around there. There's nothing there, right?
I might actually be misquoting, but I think it was the Chatham Sofer who someone once asked him, like, do you really think that like every single thing that you've ever eaten has no bugs and it's always goes? Do I think that every single thing I've eaten has no bugs? No. Do I think that everything I've eaten is kosher? Yes. That's what he used to say.
Yeah, right. If you eat that whole cholent that where the sour cream fell in, right, and you lop up every bit, of course you ate milk and meat. But I ate basar v'cholov, cooked together, mamish cooked. But I didn't violate the halacha because it wasn't in the proportion. We're not angels; we have to work with a halachic system, right? Okay, so let's finish up. So the dalet kosos, the matzah, the morah, the charoses, the whole night is really because the night is really sensational. We're not there to have an intellectual experience. If we were, we would probably take out Sefer Shmos and read Midrashim on Shmos. Instead, we read a few psukim from Devarim and tell a few stories. It's a story night. It's not an intellectual experience. It's a sensational experience. So that explains that element. And
difference, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, so. I'll just say one other area of halacha, and then next time we're meeting, we're going to discuss sight. Is that at Havdalah, because at the end of Shabbos, I'm moving away from such a spiritual time to a time of material work, whole. It doesn't mean it's, you know, I'm a human being. I need sheshes yirim tavod vasis kabbalat techa. I have goals to reach this week. I have accomplishments. And so we try to think of it. We try to bring about as many senses as possible together in Havdalah. And I'm going to compare that, maybe not the first week, but maybe when we get up to smell, to what Yaakov did for Yitzchak when he got his bracha. Because Havdalah is a time of bracha. I want to give a bracha for the whole week that I can make it to next Shabbos and do this again. And that it should be a successful Shabbos. And I can next Shabbos look over everything I've done and say, "Bayar es kol asher asavi de tov ma'od." Once again, that everything I did was good. So we have sound. We're listening to Havdalah. We have smell. We smell the pesachim. We have sight. We're looking at the mirror ish. We have taste. We're going to
drink the wine.
So what's with the touch? So that's why I see a lot of Sephardim. They go to touch the wine.
Wine and put it in your
touch. And they put it in different places. They put it in make a bracha for here, make a bracha here. They put it down here, right? So they want to touch the wine also, which is not always a very hygienically positive thing to do before you drink. But after the wine is already put on the plate, you can now touch it there. So the Havdalah is also meant to be the sensational thing. To touch the senses. Okay, that is our introduction for the senses. I was going to tell you. So my presentation, my presentation will be monthly, but there is another.